Well, here we are.
It is time, Simba.
If you understand that reference, you might be about the age where we should be working together. It's possible. But it is now one of 3 times a year that I'm accepting clients for my freedom framework, overcoming food sensitivities and increasing energy without unnecessary restriction. My goal for my one-on-one clients is to take them through frameworks and explore tools for achieving 50, 80, 90% of their goals in just a few months and show them how to continue to heal on their own so they don't need me anymore. Honestly, I think we're doing great one-on-one work here, helping women that would otherwise be falling through the cracks, thinking that they're just aging, that they're just moms, that they just, and it may be true that they just have stress, when really those stress hormones and their other core systems just really need some serious support and some serious love to serve them for years to come without symptoms. So if you'd like to clear inflammation, eczema, food sensitivities, or improve energy and brain clarity, I'd love to chat with you. You can book a call with me at kristabigler.com/FSS, kristabigler.com/FSS, and that link will be in the show notes.
And when you're under stress, crank it up more, because when you're under stress, your body burns magnesium. That is the mineral that it burns the most. And that stress could be emotional, physical, all of the above.
I gotta get myself a little more faith, a little more love.
I'm your host, Krista Bigler, and I'm going to guess we have at least one thing in common, that we're both in pursuit of a less stressed life. On this show, I'll be interviewing experts and sharing clinical pearls from my years of practice to support high-performing, health-savvy women in pursuit of abundance and a less stressed life. One of my beliefs is that we always have options for getting the results we want. So let's see what's out there together. All right, today on The Less Stressed Life, I have Patrick Sullivan Jr., who is co-founder and chief entertainment officer at Jigsaw Health, which he started with his father, Patrick Sullivan, in 2005, who was quite the serial entrepreneur. I'd love to hear a little bit more about how a guy who created like a software system and other things, and I'd like to hear about why he created a supplement company. We're going to talk about muscle cramps today and magnesiums, but I love the how it's made. So Patrick, welcome.
Thank you so much, Krista, for having me here. And let's just say that we're all trying to live a less stressed life.
Seriously.
Amen to that.
In pursuit of. I'm changing the name. In pursuit of. We're all in pursuit of this.
That's right. That's all we're promised, right? The pursuit of happiness. So my dad is a serial entrepreneur, as you mentioned. He's a scratch-your-own-itch guy. And you could say that's actually where all of the best inventions in the world have ever come from. The need to scratch your own itch. So in the software world, when he in 1980 was a young software and computer salesman, he realized, you know what, if I could keep track of people better, then I could probably sell more. So he created a product called ACT, which was the first contact manager, gave birth to the category of contact management, and had a great sort of successful career in the high tech world. But what a lot of people didn't know is that behind the scenes, he was really struggling with his health, and every sort of health book he had his hands on, he would find things in there and be like, yeah, this all applies to me. I need help. So one of those things in particular was a magnesium deficiency checklist. And every time he went through one of those, it'd be like, yep, I need that. I need that. I need that. So he'd go to the drugstore and say, okay, give me your best magnesium. But he would go right through him, because one of the myriad of symptoms that he was struggling with, along with low energy and trouble sleeping, was gastrointestinal difficulties. So typical drugstore magnesium is going to be a less absorbable form of magnesium. And magnesium has this interesting side effect that it is hydrophilic, which is a fancy word that means it draws water to it like a magnet. So when you put magnesium into your bowels and it draws water, you get what happens. So it's why magnesium is used to prepare people for colonoscopies, the wrong form of magnesium. That led my dad and I to start Jigsaw Health in 2005. He had written a book called Wellness Piece by Piece. And it was his sort of, here's my checklist of the things that I found that helped me to overcome my myriad of health challenges. the keys to his health puzzle, thus the name Jigsaw Health.
I'm wondering if you were like a baby at that time or what before how he recruited you in.
19 years ago, I was 28 years old and certainly a babe in the woods as it came to building an e-commerce company and learning how to run a business. In the last 19 years, I've certainly learned quite a bit. We started off, we made every mistake it seems you could possibly make, except for one. We made some good formulas. So the products themselves, including MAG SRT, which is now America's number one time release of magnesium, 19 years later, basically uses a very good form of magnesium, dimagnesium malate, very absorbable, but then it is in a time release tablet. So the tablet breaks down over 8 hours, and that is to avoid the common problem, the hydrophilic problem that we talked about earlier. We had some good formulas. We just had no idea how to do the sales and the marketing. And thankfully, over the last 19 years, we did eventually figure it out.
I could ask 100 questions about your dad's health issues and how you arrived at some of these formulas. But you bring up a good point when we talk about magnesium forms. And you were talking about drugstore magnesium. And so often the dollar version of magnesium on the shelf is magnesium oxide, which is literally just going to create a bowel movement. It's a terrible experience. Whereas magnesium citrate will also create bowel movements and you might feel a little bit better, but also not highly absorbable. So maybe we could just start to go through the list of forms of magnesium. And let's go through the list of forms of magnesium. And then I've got like weird questions about supplement stuff about when you're figuring that out behind the scenes. But first, let's go through some of those. So I just mentioned, if you want to mention anything about oxide, citrate, and then any other forms of magnesium you want to talk about, there's several, at least seven.
Yeah, magnesium oxide has about 4% bioavailability. Every form is generally better than magnesium oxide. However, it's used the most in multivitamins because it's the cheapest and it has the biggest sort of bang for the buck in terms of elemental magnesium. Getting a little bit maybe into the weeds, but the point is, generally, you're going to want to stay away from magnesium oxide. Dr. Dennis Goodman is a cardiologist in New York that wrote a great book called Magnificent Magnesium. This book came out 7 years ago or something like that. And he actually did a great job summarizing, like, in general, a form of magnesium that ends in ATE is generally pretty good. So malate, glycinate, threonate, those are three really good forms. Now, the exception to that is citrate. Magnesium combined, or rather attached to citric acid, creates magnesium citrate, and it is not typically recommended unless you're preparing for colonoscopies. In general, those are my three favorite forms. Those are the ones that I tend to use. Malate is magnesium bound to malic acid, which will tend to create a little bit of an energizing form. Malate is also good for binding to aluminum. So it has that chelation element side effect, if you will. Magnesium glycinate or magnesium lysinate glycinate, very similar. That's a great form. And it's typically magnesium bound to glycine, the amino acid, which will often help to calm down the brain. So we use magnesium lysinate glycinate in Jigsaw Magsu, S-O-T-H-E, Magsu. And that form is really good for at night. Mix it with 2 ounces, 3 ounces of water, and it helps to calm down the brain. So I take MAG SRT, the time release magnesium, with magnesium malate, generally with my lunch. And then at night, MAG Soothe with magnesium glycinate at night. The third form is magnesium L-threonate, which is a fairly newer form of magnesium. And there's some interesting studies from MIT on absorbability in the brain. And of course, the body uses magnesium in a myriad of different ways. It's often talked about as there's 300 known biochemical reactions. But the interesting thing about that number is that it comes from Dr. Bert Vallon. I think it was the 1950s that he was a professor in Harvard Medical School. And it was his best guess based on the data then. More recently, a medical researcher named Morley Robbins, he's the creator of the Root Cause Protocol. He, through his research, has documented, if I'm remembering correctly, 3,219 plus biochemical reactions that magnesium is involved in the body, perhaps the most important of which is ATP, adenosine triphosphate. energy. Energy, ATP, is actually Mg2 plus ATP. It's magnesium that creates that spark of energy. So we need it inside of our brains. That's why magnesium L3-inate and the data that shows it absorbs into the brain, we use that in Jigsaw Brain Boost as a magnesium L3-inate. So there's my, I don't know, 3-minute spiel on my three favorite forms. And if you stick with those three, you're going to get coverage in your entire body.
I would totally agree with you. I want to talk about, I'm going to go through each of those with you a little bit and underline some things that I think are important. People are really familiar with mag citrate because you can pick it up at any store in a more expensive bottle, often in a powder. But you brought up a good point. It's bound to citric acid. So using that as a powder all the time, for one, it's not absorbable, like you said. But for two, it will damage your tooth enamel after quite a long time. So I don't think people know that. The reason I want to bring it up is because when people take it, they feel good. They will get kind of a relief to the muscles, but they're just not really getting into the cell. It's not really making a big difference long term. Whereas, like you said, the malate, the glycinate, the 3-inate are more absorbable. So glycinate, I love this one also. So you brought this up. It's bound to glycine, an amino acid. I find glycine a huge, or amino acids, a huge part of health improvement overall because they support drainage detox. With malic acid being attached to the malate form, I think about malic acid. I think about this from a perspective of people take malic acid. It's in fruit juices and can help soften gallstones and things like that also. And then finally, I don't think you talked about how 3-inate, you brought it up that it's a newer form of magnesium. To me, I just call it like the brain focus magnesium as you were describing. But I don't think you brought up what magnesium is bound to make magnesium 3-inate. And do you know, and you said it's a newer form of magnesium, which makes me think, who is creating these magnesiums? This is the part that you would know really is like behind the scenes, how does that actually work?
That's a really great question. So magnesium L3-inate, if I'm recalling correctly, is magnesium bound to threonic acid. And this is definitely out of my depths when we get into the chemistry side of things. But for instance, I know that our magnesium that we use in MAG-SRT, the dimagnesium malate, starts as magnesium oxide, and it comes from the Dead Sea in Israel. So magnesium oxide is reacted or chelated with a agent, in this case, malic acid. So I don't know exactly how that process works, but we have been working with Albion Labs, and we've been working with them on the MAG-SRT formula since my dad created it in 2005. And dimagnesium malate was a little bit of a newer form 19 years ago. It's now used in a lot of different applications. It's also used a lot for horses. Magnesium for equine is like a huge deal. So I know that Jigsaw
pivoting into the pet market or the animal
well,
market.
I would hate to. Take
I often
away.
Feel this way. Also, like they say that the animal market is recession proof.
That's right. That's right. If our dogs are any concession, we do probably care about them more than most humans. I don't know if that makes me a good person or a bad person. But one, if you've met Mug and Lola, you would understand. They're two cute toy Aussie doodles who are just the cutest and really well behaved dogs. Going back to the horse thing, her name is Carlin and her last name escapes me, but she's been selling dimagnesium malate to horses about as long as, or I guess to horse owners, as we've been selling MAG-SRT to humans. And she has actually been one of our largest wholesale accounts for MAG-SRT because her humans see how well their horses do. And in terms of calming down and their muscle aches and tremors and stuff like that. And then they say, could I take magnesium too? So she sells them a bottle of Jigsaw Mag SRT after they see how well the dimag malate works for her their horses.
That is so funny. Okay, I'm just thinking about this out loud. Okay, so the mag oxide comes from the Dead Sea. They're doing some kind of reaction to make it into dimagnesium malate.
And I was actually thinking. That happens in Utah,
Okay, I was actually thinking reacted magnesium is sometimes a term thrown around also, but it looks like it's actually an umbrella term for a few types of magnesium.
I believe you are correct. Yeah, I believe you're correct. Orthomolecular is a great company based. And they're a great company based in Wisconsin, and they, I don't know if branding is the right term, but they label their products as Reacted.
Like, we're going to call it Reacted and to make up a new class, but it's really just an umbrella for a few of these magnesiums.
That's right. Yeah.
Threonic acid looks like it is part of vitamin C or ascorbic acid, actually. Interestingly enough, this makes me really curious about, we know, and this is the stuff I don't really have to think about all that often. I just understand magnesium L-threonate crosses the blood-brain barrier. It provides calmness and brain focus or clarity of the brain. But what are the mechanisms that make that happen? I'm not honestly sure all the time. And that's okay. It just makes me think, oh, okay, cool. So you're combined with vitamin C. I can't get over this horse thing. And it's, God bless these people who figure this stuff out. And they're like, this is a great market. I am just wondering what kind of dose these horses get for a diet magnesium malate. And how do they know? I know that's a big deal. If you have a calm horse, it's like a really big deal. I have chickens and a cat, and I give my cat liver and I feel like I'm good. And I give my chickens certain things. And that's about as far as I go. So I like talk to my team about all the dog problems. I am fat. I think that's a whole, I don't understand why we don't look at all the problems pets have, like allergies, mostly allergies and cancer, and think, oh, are we worried about what's coming for us next? Like, we're living with these animals. Anyway, I'm just thinking about what kind of dose of magnesium the horses might need. Not that you should know that what for any reason, but it's just fascinating. That's how the horse owners decide that they're going to take magnesium.
I wouldn't be surprised if the dosage fit along the similar human dosage. RDI or RDA, whichever you prefer to call it, for magnesium used to be 400 milligrams for adults. It's now 420 milligrams per adults. That's probably still too low. So Mildred Seeley, PhD, wrote a book called, I believe it was called Magnesium Factor. And in it, she created a best guess formula for dosage of 5 milligrams per pound of body weight per day. So if you weigh 100 pounds, 500 milligrams per day. So that's already 100 or 80 milligrams more than the FDA is recommending. If you're 200 pounds per day, that's about 1,000 milligrams of magnesium you should be getting per day. Morley Robbins, aka Magnesium Man, who I talked about earlier, the root cause protocol created, he added on a corollary of, okay, yes, it's 5 milligrams per pound of body weight. And when you're under stress, crank it up more, because when you're under stress, your body burns magnesium. That is the mineral that it burns the most. And that stress could be emotional, physical, all of the above.
Yeah. People are going to want to ask right now about food-based sources of magnesium. And this comes up with every mineral. And I have to talk about this with iodine a lot, about just showing them the amount that's actually in food versus what we sometimes need in supplements. But let's talk a little bit about most common sources of food-based magnesium. And if you can, approximations of what's there. I don't know if this comes up for you guys very often. So sorry if I'm putting you on the spot. Not really.
It's a great question. No, it is a great question. It does come up a lot. And yes, when I talk about 5 milligrams per pound of body weight of magnesium, that should be considered from all sources. So the typical sources of food or of magnesium in food, leafy greens, one of the actually the highest is almonds. So pound for pound, if I recall correctly, it's 1,000, you'd have to eat like 1,000 calories worth of almonds to get 400 milligrams. So
that's correct.
Most people want a 2,000 calorie diet a day. It's like half of my diet from almonds. That's like a lot of work. So yes, almonds, I'm a huge fan. Make sure I think go sprouted and salted rather than roasted. Because roasted, now you're introducing probably some new problems. And obviously organic, if you can get those. So sprouted organic would be, I think, the best way to go for almonds. Did you find that article on our website?
Yeah,
you did. All right. So you fill in the rest of the details.
Exactly. It was like, you've got to consume a giant plate of almonds. And this is the issue. And it does, you know, beg to question how we did this before supplements, but we don't have to answer those questions. We don't have to know that question here today. This comes up when we're thinking about, I'll just use another off the wall topic. But when I talk to women about estrogen metabolism, there are products that they could take and it's a capsule, or they could eat 2 heads of broccoli, right? Like they're going to get about the same amount. So to your point, I don't know if almonds are the most absorbable, but it's like, how did we do this before? Was our stress lower?
really sure. I'm not really sure how we manage. I think I do think that, to your point, if your magnesium oxide is coming from the sea, I do think there is a lot to be said about getting to swim in the sea and the ocean, yes, healthy bodies of water, to be honest.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was where my brain was starting to go with that question. We can absorb magnesium topically. Jigsaw makes a great, we call it Mag Relief. We did a fun music parody video featuring my wife singing, Ashley. Get some Mag Relief.
I started to watch that before I had you in here.
So yeah, if you look, I think it's probably getmagrelief.com. It should take you directly to that music video. And that it's magnesium chloride directly onto the skin. And I have found myself using that. I hope we're going to talk about pickleball. I'm wearing a shirt that says pickleball saves lives.
Yeah,
but as I found, I was pickleballing like 2.5-3 hours. I would, let's call it, out hunt my magnesium supplement implementation coverage that I was taking for Mag SRT and Mag Soothe. And in particular, my calves and my feet would need targeted muscle relief. So I would do the Mag Relief directly onto those. And I have, for me, doing the lotion is a little annoying because I feel like we do a good job, but it's not too sticky or smelly or anything like that. But it's just, you get the lotion and you rub it on and then you're like, okay, now I got to get rid of the rest of the lotion. So the good part is just put it on other areas like shoulders or arms or whatever to fully get the magnesium on you.
So I am a huge fan of topical magnesium absorption just to reduce supplement burden, but lots of comments and questions about this. First of all, the thing that comes up the most often, aside from if you're taking like an Epsom salt bath, if you're using a spray on or a lotion, is that it can burn. How often are you fielding questions about this? And what can you say about that? I've never really found an amazing, I'm not sure if anyone knows, but I'm curious because I've not been able to find a very good explanation except for body pH. And it does seem to abate. So I'm wondering how often you're fielding that as someone who makes a topical product.
I don't know that we've ever had a complaint, but I would say this is more of a low dose lotion versus a magnesium oil. I've tried the magnesium oils, just tried it before. And you really do have to cut it with water or it can have some burning effect. Plus the oils, once they dry, will typically leave around a little bit of that salt residue. Actually, interesting. Have you ever been to the Dead Sea and floated in the Dead Sea?
No. Did you get to do that and have a business write-off?
Maybe I could have figured out how to write off. I didn't. Just went on a trip. Gosh, this would have been 2008, I think it was. And it was just the most odd feeling being in the Dead Sea, a whole bunch of people out there, and you're like floating at almost belly button height. And you're like, why am I not sinking? It's so like when you get out of the sea, you feel the almost like oil slick on you, but it feels like really good. So I don't know, I guess we're taking a little bit of a rabbit trail here. I'm not trying to dodge the question.
But we don't know. I don't think anyone knows, actually. And okay. The closest I've come to is pH, and I don't push it because it's like annoying to buy products and then to have it burn. But you're saying,
sure,
I've not had this issue.
Not with our topical Jigsaw Mag Relief. What I was going to say, and as I remember, it was like, they were really adamant about, number one, if you have any open sores or open wounds, get in because it'll burn. And number two, they're like, do not touch your hand. You can get your hands in the liquid, but do not touch your face. Don't touch your eyes.
Did they kind of patrol it, or were you on a tour?
Yeah, we were on a tour. There wasn't like a lifeguard like blowing a whistle at you.
I'm just
saying,
curious.
But they were pretty adamant about, look, when you get in, we touch our face a lot more, I think, than we think we even know.
Totally.
And they're like, just don't do it. So yeah, you're like, okay. And then there's like a way to, there's a shower off thing right after you get out. So
I have no desire to ever start a supplement company after having friends with supplement companies and all the hoops. But if I was going to, I do think I like the idea of topicals because there's not a lot of good topical stuff being done. And that's quite a topic. But it goes back to the question of how did we mineralize before supplements? And so one is soaking, right, in the sea or the ocean. Mm-hmm. And then I was also thinking about, what about our mountain people? And I'm like, there's minerals in spring water, right? So I think our water sources were just different and we were much more focused on the minerals that were there. And I think that's a lost conversation in art that doesn't get talked about a ton, right?
I'll give you another one, bone broth. So our paleolithic ancestors would use the whole animal, right? The whole carcass, including the bones, and they would boil those bones down. True. And magnesium is one of the important elements in the bone matrix, along with calcium. It's so funny, those Got Milk ads from back in the day that was all pumping calcium. If you dropped a piece of chalk, which is calcium carbonate, on the floor, visualize, what would that chalk do?
Break right open.
It would break right open. It's so, it would shatter in a moment. I am not a fan of the Got Milk people, by the way. I don't know if you want to get into that, but I am not a fan.
Yeah, I feel like that died. There was a researcher local to me that, when we're talking about bone strength and bone health, she was doing research on hutterite colonies. And that was, and at the time I was in college and I was interviewing different, I had this really cool job where I'd interview the different researchers at the campus. And so it was at that time that I learned about how weight bearing exercise was a zillion percent better for all of bone health than the milk would ever be. And that was the evidence in this colony where they had a lot of physical activity. Their bone density was just like intense. So
go figure. Exercise wins again.
Right. Exactly. And also, as you're bringing up bone broth and nose to tail, I'm thinking about how mineral rich so many herbs are, right? And how we used to like maybe lean toward nature for medicine a little bit more. So when we're thinking about why do we have these things, and I think our stress is similar but different now. I think it's very unrealized and chronic and ongoing, and we're out of touch with it a little bit. This is a passion. This is my passion area, unrealized stress. I was having a chat with your wife, Ashley. She's, don't you want to talk about magnesium on the podcast? And here we are in it accidentally. And this is wonderful because people know magnesium is awesome. And I said, actually, everyone needs potassium to even get the magnesium into the cell. And so there's a lot to say about minerals. And you brought up a good point earlier that if you don't have the magnesium, then the spark to make the energy isn't even going to happen. And as my friend Amanda says, who has a big platform around minerals, she always calls minerals the sparks, which is probably actually a Morley statement. She was borrowing more than likely.
So, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I had a question for you because you're having cramps with your increased exercise. I was actually guest speaking to a group of young pastors recently, and one was talking about, yeah, I get these muscle cramps when I go skiing. And so he was asking me what to do. And I was like, dude, you have to start way before. I'm hydrating really well that day. I'm like, you really have to start your mag way before that time. It is very inefficient to replete magnesium. And I talk to clients about this a lot. I don't know if you have any feelings about it. I look at this from a very clinical perspective. You look at it from a sourcing perspective. And what kind of feedback do you get from just this public health perspective almost? And I also will say, I think your customers are more health conscious and health savvy people, which I do think gives a different level. This isn't like the customers of Walmart calling to tell you that they got diarrhea from magnesium oxide, right? Or something like that. You have savvier clients and customers. So we're coming about this a little bit from different angles. And I'm looking at this, it takes a lot of magnesium a while to get repleted. And I was wondering, do you ever check your body levels of magnesium, Patrick?
Yeah, I do. I test my serum and RBC magnesium levels. I typically will do blood work around my birthday, February each year. If you want to buy me something, it's February 8th. You can give me on the flip side next year. Okay, so a couple different ways to go there. We saw MAG-SRT was tested in a human clinical trial with 91 people. It was randomized, controlled, placebo controlled. The lead researcher, the clinical researcher, was Dr. Decker Weiss, and the results were published in the Journal of American College of Nutrition. And the findings were that MAG-SRT, the headline really is that 91% of participants were able to take 500 milligrams a day without reporting any digestive discomfort. So it's like high dose magnesium without the side effects. Great. Number one. Number two, serum magnesium, which is essentially short-term magnesium, increased by 22% in 8 hours. RBC magnesium increased by 30% over the course of 90 days. And magnesium deficiency symptoms decreased by 63% over the course of 90 days. So we were very delighted to basically have all those five-star reviews validated by science. And yes, I do check my levels each year. I test a number of different stuff. In fact, I typically will do the full Monty panel as recommended by Morley Robbins and the various stuff that they look at. But there was the second thing I wanted to talk about with regards to your skiing friend. So there's really two types of muscle cramps. And I learned this from the clinician that did the Scottsdale Magnesium study, Dr. Decker Rice. There's two types of muscle cramps. If you're in the midst of an activity like skiing or pickleball or javelin throwing, and you start to cramp up, that's a sign of a potential potassium deficiency. If you cramp up after the activity, or like Charlie horses in the middle of the night, that is a potential sign of a possible magnesium deficiency. And it's because potassium and sodium are on two kids on a teeter-totter, and magnesium and calcium are like two kids on a different teeter-totter. And if you think about the food supply in general, it's super easy to get sodium and it's super easy to get calcium, but it's not as easy to get potassium and magnesium. So with all of Jigsaw Health electrolyte formulas, like Pickleball Cocktail, which maybe we'll talk about, it has 800 milligrams of potassium, which is essentially the equivalent of two bananas worth of potassium, and only 90 milligrams of sodium, and it also a little bit of 50 milligrams of magnesium. But in Pickleball Cocktail, potassium is really the star ingredient. And the genesis to that was, as I was playing pickleball, I started to cramp up on the court. And I'm like, I know I've got plenty of magnesium. What the heck is going on here? And I talked to Dr. Decker about it. It's actually likely the other kind of muscle cramp. It's the potassium that you're not getting, that you're probably not getting enough of. So that was why we formulated that. And I will tell you this, it's crazy to me that products like Element, LMNT, have 1,000 milligrams of sodium and I think maybe 200 milligrams of potassium. You can fact check me on that.
I know that, no problem. I've got a whole chart that's got all of the electrolytes listed all the amounts, because really common topic of practice.
I don't understand. Yes, of course, sodium is important. It's one of the five electrolytes: sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and chloride. And of course, you need all of them. Somebody once asked me, can I get addicted to magnesium? I was like, you already are. But I think that Pickleball Cocktail, oddly named as it is really one of the best electrolyte products out there. It's sweetened, no sugar, because again, sugar, you do need some, but it's easy to get sugar from just about anywhere. It's really hard to get 800 milligrams of potassium. And oh, by the way, I don't like eating bananas.
You don't have to preach to me, but it's okay that we share this in general, because I already put everybody on pickleball pretty much. I already see all the tissue potassium is depleted. I already live the potassium deficiency in the mineral. So the thing is, just to really clearly clarify really quick, your body is going to keep this in balance as much as it can. It will steal from the tissue to keep your pH level. Otherwise, you will pass out. And you will not typically see your sodium and potassium looking off in your blood unless you are about to pass out and you happen to go in and have blood drawn. You will definitely see it maybe just a touch out of range, or it might hover near the edges of it. We're looking at tissue nutrients, which is really, I think, that's the subclinical. It's like the stuff before you ever see anything in blood work, which answers the question of why is blood work normal, but I don't feel normal. There's all these other processes happening behind the scenes that can happen because the action happens inside the cell, right? Not in this circulating serum necessarily. So inside the cell and then inside the tissue. And so I feel pretty dang strongly about potassium now that I've been doing this for a long time. I see that it promotes motility. I see where it's, if you have relapsing gut issues, you probably need potassium. Cortisol, our darling stress hormone, when it goes up, it depletes potassium. So therefore, when you're under more stress, you should do more. Just like the magnesium comment, like you should do much more. And so with the industry, the health savvy people that know, ooh, I feel good on magnesium. And someday, I hope we will feel this way about, we will know this about potassium. Meanwhile, you're filling a really big gap. There's a couple products, a couple that really even have this much potassium. It's not easy to do. Maybe if you live in a tropical climate and you're drinking coconuts and eating tropical fruit, but otherwise it's not. Like you said, there are things that are easy to do. And so we have an entire chart about electrolytes that gives the breakdown of everything, because people will say, actually, I don't get this as much anymore. But once upon a time, people would say, what about this one? I'm like, add it to the chart so you can very clearly see. And when I am at a music festival in a climate like yours in Las Vegas, I used liquid IV because it was available and it's sugary. And that might be okay if you're like sweating to death. But to be honest, pickleball, like that as you said, like a lot of electrolyte products are really not that good. They're mostly carbohydrates or sodium, and we're really missing out on the potassium. And you would be shocked at how it creates heart palpitations. Like you said, muscle cramps. It creates all kinds of symptoms people are very afraid of, right? Like heart palpitations. Like, am I going to die? And I'm like, maybe let's do a lot more potassium than you think you should do.
Especially for those palpitations.
Well, now I know where the name came from. I think that there is, for a long time, people would be like, why is this called pickleball? And it's this guy right here is the reason it's called pickleball. You can blame him because he's obsessed. Is that true?
Pickleball cocktail. Yes, that is 100% true. We have talked about changing the name from what's hilarious, one of the biggest questions that we get from customers is, okay, I don't play pickleball, but my nutritionist is recommending pickleball cocktail. God. Can I still take this? And it might be, I've told our team, I don't know if they do, but I told them a story. Thomas DeLauer, big sort of personality on YouTube, and had a great answer for that. He's like, no matter what sport you play, you still sweat the same. And we have recently been thinking about changing the name of Jigsaw Pickleball Cocktail to Potassium Cocktail, because the potassium is really the star. But it then maybe loses a little bit of its
quirkiness. Can't you just like massage it into pickleball potassium cocktail?
Just add it in there.
But like me, I'm like, the name of this podcast really should be In Pursuit Of, not like anyone's crossed a mountain of this and they're like living with monks. It's really In Pursuit, right? So we'll just massage the title a little bit. Maybe just pickleball potassium cocktail. That way we're not confused.
That's right. Making it more clear is definitely not a bad idea. And what's funny is I'm looking at the bottle right now.
I know. I wish I had bought. I'm not even, I was at home. This is my other office. I was like, I should have just put some pickleball on my shelf. It would have been cool.
I don't have a bottle here, but on, I think MagSRT, we call it a magnesium supplement, even though categorically you're supposed to say nutritional supplement on the bottom, but I bet we could change it to potassium supplement because a lot of people do read the fine print, especially our audience of customers. And it's probably because they're, like you said, the Jigsaw Health customers, are the most savvy customer base in all of the nutrition industry.
And I will say, so here's, it's like a really authentic pat on your back. A lot of supplement companies make a lot of things. They maybe make a couple of things. You guys, your entire product line is just good. Like I can feel really good about saying their entire product line is good at the end. It's just, it's all, I think, I'm guessing it's because you're picky about it. You're not just like, we should make this and this. You can do everything, or you could do a handful of things really well. And on behalf of those of us, including myself, who've been pushing potassium for 3 years now, let's expand the flavors here. And because I always tell my clients, I was like, I am no longer going to tell you what you're going to, I get in trouble if I tell people what they're going to, I'm like, I don't like things I used to 3 years ago, but I still need the potassium. Yeah. I still need the potassium. And not that anyone's making any comments about pickleball necessarily. I'm just saying in general, if we eat something every day.
The orange flavor. Yeah, the orange flavor was inspired by my childhood love of Tang.
Oh my gosh. I'm so wondering if that's where you're going with
this. Oh yeah, 100% true. 100% true. And I think we got pretty darn close, at least as well as my memory.
So I never have thought about that in that way, but I had these visuals. I feel like part of my childhood, I don't feel like that's totally the case. Everybody had the orange Gatorade containers. Yep. And then there was like imagery of you pouring that over the head after getting whatever. And this is what's in my head along with Tang. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So and the orange drink. The
orange for sure. And then, boy, during last year, we really worked hard to come out with a new flavor to just nail it really. We care about flavors. We care about all our products a lot.
Everyone wants to know how you can make a raspberry blue. What is a blue raspberry?
Did you ever watch Willy Wonka?
Oh, I have watched Willy Wonka. It's frightening, but yes. Where did it come from?
You know what? I don't recall what the inspiration for that was precisely. We have a great team. We call it the Jamily, the Jigsaw family. And ideas come from just about everywhere, whether it's like video ideas, parody song ideas, flavor names, Electrolyte Supreme, Berrylicious. Somebody was like, doesn't that remind you of, is it Beyonce's Bootylicious song or something?
I was wondering if that's where you're going to.
So, of course,
if we've ever wanted to know what's going on behind the minds of what goes in the bottle, we're laying it all out right here. This is the genius.
That's right. Marketing 101, we basically
go with something catchy.
Yeah. If the premise makes us laugh, then we feel like, okay, there's something there. The rest of the script, the rest of the idea will write itself if the premise makes us happy. And blue raspberry, have you tasted it?
Of course.
Okay, good. It's, to me, it's a little bit sweeter than I wanted it to be, but I got outvoted by the rest of the jam.
Right. Yeah, you can't make everybody happy. That's people who don't want any sweetness, so they're like, I don't want this one. And that's fine. Coconut water, that's fine.
Do you recommend adrenal cocktail to your clients? Because it's unflavored. So Jigsaw Adrenal Cocktail is another one of our... it's very salty.
I like salt,
but... the flavor.
Yeah. I like salt, but everyone says you've got to just put that in orange juice. To me, I somehow just never got adrenal cocktail. So I actually don't know if you guys were the original name or if that was Morley. I don't know where that actually came from. I always forget that, oh yeah, you guys have the adrenal cocktail. Because in my brain, I'm like, oh, adrenal cocktail is... just a combination of electrolytes in my brain. It does. So for me, I recognize you more for other products, whereas some people may recognize you as the original adrenal cocktail people, which I forget. Sorry. But everyone says, yep, you got to put that one in orange juice. I just never got, for some reason, I just was never on the adrenal cocktail train, but I'm like, I drive the pickleball train. So
yes.
I guess we can all have our favorites. We can all play favorites.
Pickleball potassium cocktail, as you just renamed it, it contains, I think, about 4 times more potassium than adrenal cocktail. And the original adrenal cocktail formula was a formula that Morley discovered. I cannot remember her name. Maybe you can fact check me on this. But her formula, we saw that and said, man, people are like mixing 3 ingredients together to make this adrenal cocktail. What if we just saved them the step, put it in a jar for them? And at that time, we were like, yeah, we could flavor it, but I think the right thing to do is actually go unflavored on this.
Yeah.
So we've kept it unflavored. And I, in my morning drink, adrenal cocktail is one of my staples. It's great for the adrenals. Yep. And so I'll typically do a pickleball cocktail at lunch, but the adrenal cocktail in the morning right after I work out.
Well, I do want to mention something that is a nod to something you said earlier in case this comes up for people. And it doesn't come up a ton in my clients because I have a health savvy audience as well, or clients more, but it does sometimes. So if you're a person who feels like you ever have any swelling, if you go for a walk or something, you're like, oh, my ring is stuck, or just very slightly, or your socks are leaving a mark, push the potassium for a while sometimes. And so just to your point, it's not really, it's neutral, but it just reminded me of this. This is a really cool thing because the sodium is extracellular, the potassium is intracellular. It's easier to have enough sodium. It's easy to not have enough potassium. So sometimes you have to push that if you're seeing that. And that's not always the case, but we know that a little bit. People will talk about sodium. It's actually an imbalance of the two, in my opinion.
Right.
And same point about blood pressure. I've seen good results with blood pressure pushing potassium. So I just thank you for having that product. And this would have been a beautiful place to start to wrap up, but I forgot a question about magnesium I had, which is, how do you make a timed release magnesium?
Now that is a fun question. It's proprietary. I can't tell you right now, Billy. We use a couple of different forms of microcrystalline cellulose, plant fiber. And it was working with a chemist that you do these dissolution tests to get the profile dissolution, basically how quick it dissolves. And our dissolution profile, if I recall correctly, is something like 40% dissolves within the first 4 hours. But it's basically
close
an
enough
8 hour time release.
Right.
Using plant fibers.
Well, how did you come up with this? How did this, did you say to yourself, people are waking up in the night and they still don't have enough magnesium? Maybe we could just make it extend, or did you meet someone? Where did this come from?
It really came from the trying to avoid the dreaded side effects of too much magnesium when you are trying to absorb it all at one time. And previous to MAG SRT, so we're going back early aughts, the 2000s, the late 90s, is either slow mag or mag tad, but was using
before my time.
Yeah. Carnauba wax. So the same thing that you put on your car, that's how they were creating their time release. And my dad, the original inventor of the product, was like, hey, I can't get around. I get it. You're telling me Carnauba wax is safe for me to take, but I can't get over the fact that what I would wax my car with is what I'm supposed to put in my body. I don't like that. And then the only other really time release product at the time was Slow Mag. I don't recall what their time release is, but they were made by a company you may recognize, Purdue Pharmaceuticals. Purdue Pharmaceuticals, the makers and creators of OxyContin. You'd say, but why did they make a time release magnesium? because one of the problems with Oxy is it gets you constipated. Those were the two competitors in the space in the early aughts for time-release magnesium. It has really just continued to be, I think, a bit of a niche category for magnesium. And when my wife and I were on a trip, it was 2016 or 2017, we got to do this awesome trip. We went to Italy, and I saw the sign at the station, at the railway station, that said, Italy's favorite coffee. And I was like, that's an awesome tagline. I wonder if we could be America's favorite magnesium. I was like, how are we going to justify that, first of all? And what I realized was, because it's like a category within a category, so magnesium supplements, time-release magnesium supplements, we had, I think we still have, at the time we did definitely have, the most five-star reviews of any other time-release magnesium. So I said, there you go, that's America's number one time-release magnesium supplement. And it's funny how that, as like a marketing and branding slogan with some actual basis in facts, has really turned into a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that was 2016, 2017. The clinical trial, the Scottsdale Magnesium Study, validated all of the five-star reviews that we were getting by seeing increased serum, increased RBC levels, and decreasing deficiency symptoms. And Jigsaw Mag SRT continues to be this great, wonderful product being used by hundreds of thousands of people every single year. So yeah, we're delighted to be helping to resolve leg cramps, to be the leg cramp solution and the and spark of life solution and eye twitch solution.
Trouble falling asleep.
For so many people. Yeah. So,
do you have any other main magnesium deficiency symptoms you think we should mention?
Oh my gosh. Let's just go through the list of 3,219 reactions that it's involved in. You pick your favorite.
Right. Many things. Any kind of muscle cramps, if you're having a period, take magnesium first. I think it's a great one.
It really is a wonderful. And what's fun is like seeing on Twitter a number of people talking about my supplement stack that I can only take four. It'll always include magnesium. It'll often include cod liver oil, which, by the way, Jigsaw makes an awesome Alaskan cod liver oil, AlaskanCLO.com.
It's a very good price point for what you get.
Agreed. Thank you for saying that. And it is a fun story behind that. Dr. Jeffrey Bland is at a cocktail party and he said, oh, hi, my name's Dr. Bland. What do you do? And he met the guy that basically owned all these. I own a bunch of fishing boats. Oh, where do you fish? Oh, in Dutch Harbor, Alaska. What do you fish for? Cod. And he goes, oh, that's cool. He goes, yeah, we sell our cod for about three times more than the standard price of cod. And Dr. Bland was like, how do you do that? He goes, because we line catch the fish. So rather than a big net that sort of scoops them up, they line catch, which means the fishermen can take the fish off one at a time and they fillet them on the boat. So the typical process is that you're in a net, you take the net, you scoop it out of the ocean, you dump the catch, you release the catch into the hull where there's ice and it's cold. But Dave, that's his name, Dave hit on their boats, they were flash freezing the fillets. And so they were ultra fresh. There was no time for these fish to begin the rancid, rotting process, oxidation process in the bottom. And Dr. Bland, smart son of a gun that he is, he's like, what do you do with the insides? And Dave was like, oh, we just toss them over the boat. And Dr. Bland was like, why don't you send me some of the insides? I'd like to take a look at those. So Dave ships Dr. Bland this huge tray of cod livers and to Dr. Bland's lab. And he's, this is more than I was expecting. But then they grind them up and start assaying what's in there. And he's, the liquid was almost clear. And it's like naturally high in naturally occurring vitamin A, vitamin D. The omega-3s were super high. And then this really interesting immunity thing called pro-resolving mediators. And so what they basically
figured out
was, they
sell those for top dollar.
There you go. So what Dr. Bland figured out is, okay, if we build a processing plant in Dutch Harbor, after these fish are coming off, we can skip like the deodorizing step. We can skip the, what is it, when they put in, they'll add in a bunch of vitamin D, like after the fact fortifying step. That's what the word I was looking for. And we'll have a much more natural product. So I ran into Dr. Bland at the Expo West. This, about 2000.
Good timing.
Maybe 2019, I think it was. And he was like, Patrick, I saw your clinical study. That was awesome that you guys did that for MAG SRT. I've got this interesting cod liver thing that we're working on. I was like, wait a second. Morley's getting super into cod liver right now. And we at the time were selling Rosita's, which is a grade four
Very
made in Norway.
Expensive.
Very but expensive. A lot more expensive. And so we figured out, wait a second, this would plug a hole in the root cause protocol that I think could be really cool. So cod liver oil, the Jigsaw Alaskan cod liver oil remains, I think, number five on our top sellers list, number four, number five, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's
top three for me.
Okay, there you go. It's one of my stacks that I use. And so, just hopefully your audience.
So did they make a plant in Dutch Harbor?
Yeah, they built a state-of-the-art processing plant in Dutch Harbor.
This is not for the faint of heart.
So your
raw material is owned by Jeff Plant.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the name of his company? Can we say that or should we not? Just curious.
Well, Bering Select is the company, I think, that is the owner of the raw material. I believe that's the name. Retired and works every day, found a thing. Dr. Bland. So his, can't remember the name of his consulting company, but I think he consulted with a group that formed Bering Select that built the operation that partnered with Dave, the fisherman, to basically say, hey, stop throwing the livers into the ocean.
Yeah. We'll take them off your hands. I mean, it's good for the ocean too.
Yeah, it is, but I'd rather that cod liver oil get in my body here in Arizona, which by the way, you said Las Vegas earlier. I was like, oh, no. Don't connect me to Las Vegas. We live in Arizona.
I know.
We live in
Phoenix. Was thinking about
similar climate.
I was thinking about going to a music festival in Las Vegas.
There you go. So EDM, probably. You're a big EDM fan.
No, it was like, it's called When We Were Young. It's punk rock.
Oh, even better. Okay.
Yeah. It's like Green Day.
Band?
Et cetera.
Who's your favorite band?
Oh, I don't have a favorite band, but since it's the end of March at the time of this recording, I love me some Irish punk rock. And one thing I would really like to do is see Flogging Molly or Dropkick Murphys on St. Patrick's Day, which sounds like a crazy time. I actually don't think I've ever seen Flogging Molly, but I have seen Dropkick Murphys.
Nice.
So, and everyone knows who they are. Everyone knows who they are because their music is in sports events and in movies and all kinds of stuff. So they're awesome.
That's right.
I love hearing about how people source their stuff because that's what people will ask this question, and I don't get it so much anymore, but they're like, what's a good source of blah, blah, blah? And it's, you literally just have to dig into the individual companies and find out what kind of person is running the company. And then you will know if you're hitting a good product. That's really what it is. And that's how all business is, right? Is this product made with integrity? Are they doing any testing? Where are they even getting their stuff from? And that's the reality is you got to dig in. And so I have a handful of favorite companies that I think do things well, and Jigsaw is one of those companies. So
thank you so much for saying that. You said something earlier, and I really appreciate it. We have attempted to be really good at a couple of products. And one of the ways that we bring that to life is a program that we introduced 6 or 7 or 8 years ago where we triple test all of our products. Yeah, Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. And because we work with contract manufacturing partners, so we'll find an ingredient and then we'll take that ingredient to like cod liver oil. We'll take that to a contract manufacturer that has all of the equipment and the people that run the stuff. So we test it when the material is received. We test it after it's done being manufactured. And then we test it a third time at a third party lab after it's been built to ensure that it is what's supposed to be in there and nothing else.
Yeah. Do you ever have to throw stuff out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We, right now, I think we're waiting on a new batch of the Electrolyte Supreme, which flavor, not Berrylicious, but I think Fruit Punch. Yeah. Because it didn't meet spec. And those are difficult conversations to have with your manufacturing partners because they obviously don't want it to be wrong and have to redo it. But those are the kind of expectations that you set up front. And when they know that's what you do, they just have to deal with it. So yeah, we had to redo a batch of that because it didn't meet spec. I don't recall which ingredient it didn't meet spec on, but that's just the nature of the game. And what's expensive, it adds cost, but I think it's an important differentiator. And it really means that customers can trust that we are putting in the bottle what's on the label.
Which is not always the case. And I have a friend who does she has a very high integrity company, not competing to yours, just different. And I learned so much just being a bystander and a friend that it is such a nightmare. And I am treated so badly sometimes by these manufacturing partners. And she's like, it's very much a bro circle, which I don't know, I'm talking to a bro, so it's hard to.
I think it's for us, like with Mag SRT, we started working with NHK Labs in Sarasota, Santa Fe Springs, California. This would have been 13, 14 years ago when we were very young and we were very small back then. And we were one of their smallest customers, if not the smallest. And now we're one of the biggest, if not their biggest, but they have really scaled up and we have scaled up with them and we have a great relationship. They have great customer service and we've had to deal with manufacturing issues with them because nobody does it perfect every single time. That's why you have to check. That's why you have to take the time to triple test. And they know that, they expect that, but they know that they're going to keep earning our business and they know customers are going to keep buying our products because they're already addicted to magnesium, right? And so I think that maybe for your friend, if she can get a little bit bigger or possibly work with someone a little bit smaller.
She is big, but it's just a matter of going through people, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And the good news is when Jigsaw Health started in 2005, we were regulated. The dietary supplement industry was regulated by the FDA, but good manufacturing practices, GMPs, had not yet been forced into the industry. And I don't think that came until maybe 2011, 2012. And we were still pretty small back then. And at first, it just felt like a bunch of paperwork where I was like, is all this really necessary? Can't I just trust the manufacturer? I'm paying them to do it. Like, why wouldn't they do it? But then you really realize, like GMP, we joke, it stands for get more paper. Because if you didn't write it down, it didn't happen. And then once you embrace that, we really feel like at Jigsaw Health, we embrace GMPs across the entire business. So on the marketing side, it's if you didn't write it down, it didn't happen. Like our whole business is SOPs, standard operating procedures, GMPs on how we make the products, or really working with our contract manufacturing partners to make those products. That's just a subset of how we operate the business. So to the extent that your friend can flex by threatening to move elsewhere, or just by like really getting into the lab itself, going to the manufacturing company itself and like developing an emotional connection, a human relationship with the people who are there, like Shabir at NHK. I remember when his kid was born and now I think his kid is about to start like applying for colleges. Wow. That's incredible. Awesome. Yeah. What a life.
Who knew you'd have all of these back stories, which is really pretty fun. And you were talking earlier about how your magnesium sourced from the Dead Sea. Did you have to ever change your sourcing over the years where it was just like, this source isn't working anymore?
I remember a time when someone texted me, it would have been about 2015, and someone texted me a news report of Albion Labs in Utah and their building was on fire. They went through they had a fire at their lab where they react the magnesium oxide and turn it into dimagnesium malate. And I don't recall the cause of the fire, but certainly anytime you have a fire in a manufacturing plant, it's going to cause some disruption in the supply chain. And it did. This would have been 2018, 2019, because it was after the clinical trial, Scottsdale Magnesium study on dimagnesium malate. And the thing that I was so nervous about all of a sudden was like, okay, first of all, I'm glad everyone's okay. Nobody got hurt. Two, we can't just change the formula of Mag SRT and use the study results from the Scottsdale Magnesium study, because if we change out dimag malate to something else, that invalidates the study that we did over here. So in that case, thankfully, supply chain, we were able to work through it, time through it. Albion did an awesome job back then. So it was a struggle. But now just recently, Adrenal Cocktail contains Redmond's sea salt, and Redmond's, which is based in Salt Lake, has decided that they're not going to resell that ingredient to any other suppliers. So all of a sudden, one of our top selling products, Adrenal Cocktail, wait, we can't use one of the key ingredients? Darn it. Like, I love Redwood sea salt. I think it's a great ingredient. Yeah. So we jumped on the internet and said, okay, what are the other salt options that are out there? We weren't a fan of the Celtic sea salt, but I think we stumbled upon a really interesting salt that's Eden sea salt. I think that's where we're going to end up doing work in the final decisions on looking at that. In Mexico, there's some Colima salt that's interesting that I think is like from a lagoon kind of a thing. But there's a number of, I guess that's just the nature of being in the business after 19 years. There's sometimes that a plant blows up and there's sometimes that a supplier says, we're going to change our rules or whatever. There's also times where it's like an ingredient will go from $100 a kilo to $4,000 a kilo, stuff like that. I feel like we've seen some of that happen over the years. And I don't know, that's just maybe the nature of the business.
You're like, was something broken here? Did they accidentally add a zero to this?
Yeah,
for sure.
And your quota's off.
Yes, exactly. And on a positive note, at least your products have straightforward ingredients in some respect, right? Where there's just like a few ingredients per product sometimes, which is better than 20, right?
That that's typically what we aim for is a smaller supplement facts label. We don't always end up doing that. Quite a few ingredients in the Electrolyte Supreme. But on the flip side, the Electrolyte Supreme is like almost like a good tasting daily multivitamin. It covers a lot of different micro mineral kind of things and stuff.
So Patrick, we've covered a lot today. We covered at least five types of magnesium with our top three favorites, threonate, glycinate, malate. We talked about how those are created, which I hadn't really thought too much about before. And that was fun. We talked about these two types of muscle cramps, the kind that comes on before or during the activity and the one that's after, which is potassium versus magnesium deficiency. We talked about magnesium recommendations. We talked about how you make timed release magnesium, and we made many rabbit holes on very valiant topics. So
yeah, I think you said we had about, you said I had about 10 minutes. How did we do on time?
We did okay. We did okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
An hour and 20 minutes later into a 45 minute podcast. Yeah. She says, Patrick,
somehow we got somehow we got talking about cod livers being thrown in the ocean. Whatever.
It's important stuff. There's a good visual there.
It's a good visual. I like it. The thing I enjoy most is what goes on behind the scenes. So for me, I enjoyed the conversation thoroughly. Tell me a little bit about where people can find you online if this is the first time they know about Jigsaw Health. And we have a coupon code for them as well.
Yes, we do. You can definitely visit us and find all of these wonderful products, including pickleball cocktail and MAG SRT and cod liver oil at jigsawhealth.com. And you can use Krista's code, which I believe we determined was less stressed 10. And certainly one other little plug that I'd be remiss not to mention, if you like behind the scenes, coming out in April, Breaking Pickleball. Breaking Pickleball.
I was wondering, I was like, I feel like we forgot something about Pickleball.
Breaking Pickleball is a documentary that we filmed. We hired a documentarian to film season one of the Arizona Pickleball League, which we hosted at our indoor facility, the Orchard at Jigsaw Health. It took us a year to make this. And I said in the beginning of the film, if we absolutely crash and burn on the Arizona Pickleball League, we might as well get it on tape. So this is that tape. And if you like behind the scenes, I think you're really going to enjoy it. But breakingpickleball.com, it comes out. The first episode drops on Monday, April 1st.
Seriously. I think this is where if someone is feeling burned out in their industry and their job, it's because they're probably not having enough fun. And they need to just make a random documentary about pickleball if that's what you really care about. Like, focus on what you love.
Focus
on what you love. And if it makes sense, name a product after it. Sell it to everybody. And then everyone can ask, is it okay if I drink this if I don't even play pickleball? And pickleball is, I think you're leading the charge a little bit, but pickleball's on the comeback team here, right?
It sure
My friend plays pickleball with a bunch of 60-year-old ladies all the time. I would totally play, which I was great, thankful. And I would totally play pickleball if I had a pickleball court. So anyway, sometime in Arizona.
Next time you're here, we're going to hit the pickleball at the Orchard and it's going
to
be great.
I feel like I should probably practice before I go to the guys.
Beginners are welcome.
Great. Good deal. All right. Jigsaw Hill, thank you so much for coming on today, Patrick, and entertaining us a bit. And if you need more entertainment, every Friday, they make some ridiculous, funny video. I was very much enjoying the St. Patrick's Day video, which was just, I don't know how long it takes you guys to do that, but thank goodness you do. Everyone enjoys their job a lot more when you make ridiculous videos on Friday at Jigsaw.
Indeed they do. Jigsaw Funny Fridays.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Faith.